Thank you that in the midst of evil, we know that you're still holy and you're good and you do what's right. And Lord, today we gather with other churches around our nation and around the world who are lifting up those in Colorado who, Father, experienced great tragedy this week. Lord, our hearts and our minds don't grasp what causes individuals to do these types of things. Lord, and as more comes out about this individual and his intelligence and his background, Lord, we just all the more wonder what went on. But Lord, it's a reminder to us of the evilness and the depravity of all men's hearts. And Lord, it's a reminder to us that there is none that are good, no, not one, and that all of us need Christ. And Father, except for your grace and your mercy in our lives, we very well could be in that way. Lord, we're thankful that your Holy Spirit, as you say in Thessalonians, is even now restraining. Lord, we know that it is not as bad as it could be, that sin does not run rampant as it could. But Lord, there's a day coming when you will remove your hand, when the evil one will have his way and things will be very tumultuous. So Father, I pray that in our lives we would know with certainty, Lord, that if those types of things were to happen to us, would we go to be with you? So, Lord, Father, we pray for the families, those who've lost loved ones. We pray for the churches in Colorado that will be ministering to these families. We pray that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will be preached. Lord, we pray that the gospel won't be watered down. We pray that lives would be changed. And, Lord, we pray that you would, by your grace and for our sake, hinder such actions in the future. Lord, we know that in Genesis, you don't allow the king to sleep with Abraham's wife. You are able to stop sin. And Lord, we pray that you would do that in times in the future. Lord, we pray these things through Christ. Amen. Well, this morning I just want to share with you, we're taking a break. We've been walking through the Gospel of Luke. And it's kind of a good, every once in a while, to take some time and kind of transition out. I would tell you that we're going to turn our attention to a matter that's really just been heavy in my heart. There's a passage in the Bible that says, you know, just my bones are wasting away. If I don't preach, and what I feel like all week long is like the Lord just sharing with Dom, was just laying this on my heart, and I've not been able to sleep really well this week. There's just this agony in my stomach, and I don't know if you've not preached or maybe you don't understand, but there's just this sense where it's like, I'm just asking the Lord to give us ears to hear, and that what He communicates to us and through us the next couple of weeks will truly impact us. Just want you to know it's heavy on my heart. And I want you to know from the beginning we're not going to finish today. It's one of the bad things about this service for me is I'm very limited in time, but even 40 minutes I don't think will be enough. So this is just kind of like when you go to a class and a professor gives you a syllabus and tells you where you're going the next couple of weeks. That's what we're doing here this morning, okay? So just giving you kind of a syllabus look at some topics that we're going to be dealing with the next few weeks. And I don't want you to get confused. I'm going to start with some big picture, but really it's like an onion. I'm going to be whittling it down to a specific point. So the first thing is not really the point, but it's what it shows us regarding our heart. In 2003, while I was a student at Southern Seminary, 2003, 2002, sometime around then, Dr. Moeller, our president, we had a convention or conference at our school, and it was a gay movement and people that were like trying to confront the homosexual movement and talking what we were going to be facing as ministers with the gospel in the years ahead regarding the homosexual agenda. And I just remember in that moment that one of the speakers or Dr. Moeller or somebody said, "We have already lost the battle." That was in like 2002. And I just thought to myself, that seems hard to imagine, right? But I just want you to know from the events that you've seen or maybe you've not seen that have happened this week, we really have. It's way past. And I think we're naive to that. We think that there's an opportunity to stem the tide, but really when you look and you see what's going on in our nation and in our culture, it has passed us by like many other moral issues of our day. Let me share with you some pro-gay movement events that happened this week and over the last couple of weeks. One, JCPenney's. Don't know if you know their current practice, but in February it announced Ellen DeGeneres as its spokesperson, an openly professing gay individual, right, as their main spokesperson. In May, it launched a catalog, May being Mother's Day, it launched a catalog advertisement with two mothers on the cover. The agenda was two gay moms with children, and it's okay. Guess what they did in June? Same thing, but with two dads. Gay men as fathers in the home is natural and normal. That's J.C. Penney's. The military, a couple months ago, remember there was this, the cover of Time magazine, there was this woman that was breastfeeding her son, he's like 4 years old or something, and it kind of caused a little bit of a stir. Well, immediately afterwards, there were two military women who also had a photo taken, and they were also breastfeeding their children. And there was a big stink about it that they shouldn't be making any kind of political stance because they were in their uniform, right? When you're wearing the United States military uniform, you do not have a voice on anything political, right? That was their stance then. Let me tell you what happened this week. In San Diego, the Department of Defense allowed military individuals to march in the San Diego Gay Pride Parade in their military dress in full uniform. During the parade, dozens of soldiers, sailors, Marines, they marched alongside an old army truck with the sign, "Freedom to Serve," and a rainbow flag attached. Office Depot this week has joined forces with Lady Gaga to push the homosexual agenda in our public schools, encouraging children to believe gay people are born that way, and it has promised to give $1 million towards this agenda, Office Depot. These issues, I've placed them on our Facebook. You can go back and you can read the articles. I put them on there this morning so you can see them for yourself. So that's the one side of the coin, right? And everybody does what? They applaud that stuff. They love it. Oh, it's so great. And for many of us, you still watch Ellen DeGeneres, and we still go to JCPenney's, and we still go to Office Depot, and we do those types of things, right? And it's hard because almost every corporation now just openly supports the gay movement. Then you get an organization like Chick-fil-A, who comes out and says what? We're guilty. We believe in the biblical view of marriage, that the homosexuality movement is not what God desires, and that we support a husband and a wife as the biblical standard for marriage. President Dan Cathy, he spoke to the Baptist press and he said, "We're guilty as charged. We support biblical marriage." The outcry regarding what Chick-fil-A has done or said is all out there. Boston, the mayor of Boston has said, "We're not going to allow Chick-fil-A's to be established in our city because they are oppressive to people groups." All right? It's amazing. Boston, the city of Boston, only has two Chick-fil-A's as it is, and they don't want any more to come. His words are, they don't want a business in the city that discriminates against a population. So there's this growing movement, let's boycott Chick-fil-A, It's not affecting me any. I'm going to eat there, right? But that's what's going on, right? Where's the boycott of Office Depot, of Ellen DeGeneres, of JCPenney's, right? No, that's not the issue. Then you have the Boy Scouts. They upheld their policy to not allow openly gay males to participate in their organization, which meant there was a 19-year-old counselor who'd been in the Boy Scout for 10-plus years, he was an Eagle Scout, who came out and he said that I am an openly practicing gay individual. And so he had to resign, step down. And again, great outcry about a private institution making decisions based on their ideologies. We believe in certain things and we don't want others that don't to be a part of us. Well, all around us, culture, politicians, they're all getting involved regarding these decisions. What you see is it's okay, it's applauded, it's even rejoiced in when individuals approve the homosexual movement and activities, but if somebody disagrees or does not approve of the movement, they are labeled what? Wrong. You're intolerant, right? All these types of things. And you hear it and you know it's out there. So I just want us to hear this, church. And you might disagree, but things aren't going to get better. Things aren't going to... Just think about it from a practical view. How are you going to stem that tide? oh, well, we'll just have a great revival. We don't even have revivals in our churches, much less a great awakening. Not that the Lord can't do those sorts of things. He's done those things in the past. But just left in and of itself to ourselves, it does not seem like it's going to get better. Biblically, we see even believers' love will grow cold and they will forsake the faith, right? As times continue to get harder, what you're going to see is those who say they're Christians, they're going to fall away because you're going to be forced to make stands about what you believe. And like in the New Testament, do I desire the affections of men more than the approval of God? Many people didn't follow after Jesus in the New Testament, it says, because they were afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue. Many people won't stand to the biblical standard of what God has said on these matters because they want to be accepted by the world. But the real issue for me is not as much the homosexual movement that really has my spirit and hopefully your spirit in an issue. It's these two matters. One, the number of people who profess Christianity and yet who seem to be on the wrong side of this issue. I'm not talking about they're on the wrong side of what I agree with. They're just on the wrong side of what the Bible says. Facebook is an amazing medium, isn't it? I mean, somebody puts something on Facebook and all these people, suddenly they put all their thoughts and views on there. And as Allison's sister, placed this article about the Boy Scouts, and many other people did as well, people we know, people who have been in her church, people who've been in churches that we've been in, have openly wrote on walls of their disapproval with the Boy Scouts' decision. They're upset at Chick-fil-A. They're posting on Facebook what they think on the matter. The reason they're wrong is because they're rejecting what the Bible says. It's so dangerous. It's so sinful in our lives when we reject what God has said for what we think, for what we want to espouse, for what we want to conclude or deduce. Listen, it does not matter what you think or what I think. What matters is what God has said. Doesn't matter what you think. In the end, God's not going to hold up, well, let me go check and see what this person said on Facebook, because that's how I'm going to make my decision as to whether this is right or wrong. He has a moral absolute standard. He has revealed that in His Word. And for so many people who espouse to be believers, there is this vocal, blatant, total rejection of what God has said. And they speak it into the world and they speak it publicly. And that might not bother you, but it breaks my heart. Because those are the very same people who will look at you and say, I'm saved. Doesn't matter what we think is fair or what is right or what is just. What matters is what God has determined is fair and righteous and just. As long as the Bible is just another book to us, we will continue to say stupid things like, this is what I think it means to me. Especially when God has already revealed His thoughts on the matter. Again, this isn't a message on homosexuality. It's a message really about us and our understanding of what God has said and the authority of His Word and our life. Look, we know that homosexuality is wrong, right? And we see it in Sodom and Gomorrah. We see God in Leviticus talk about relationships. We see God has established marriage between one man and one woman, right? We see in the New Testament that it's a list of the things that are wrong. Homosexuality is there. We see in Romans chapter 1, it says what? That men reject the natural relation for unnatural relations. That whole section in Romans 1 talking about how we know God and yet we don't believe, we don't do what He says, and He gives us over to the depravity of our hearts, which is such a terrible thing to be given over to. It doesn't matter what you think. God is, He's clearly revealed to us what He thinks on this matter. But again, as long as we just see the Bible as another book, we'll be ill-equipped to respond to the challenges of the world. Well, by that I mean, for us, so many people say, I don't know the Bible. I'm weak. And if you don't know the Bible, when people make arguments, they squash you because you're fearful, because you haven't been in the Word, and therefore you're not able to stand on the Word, and therefore you quiver and you go back and forth and you make bad decisions and you say dumb things because you don't know what the Word says. I don't know how many times I've heard people in this church and in other churches say, I don't know enough of the Bible that I can teach anybody. If you can't teach other Christians, then how can you stand up and make a testimony about what the Bible says to unbelievers? It's easy to hammer and slam, but we spend so much more time doing everything else except investing ourselves. What has God said? Scott and Don and others have invested their life trying to give the Scriptures to people who don't know Christ. And here it is. We have the Word. We have people all around us, and we don't even read it. We don't know it. And therefore, when things like this, when philosophies of the world come around, we do what? We buy into them. We don't stand on this idea that thus says the Lord anymore. So one issue regarding what I saw this week was just the brokenness in my heart of people's responding to these issues that were all around us in the news. I think this. But the other issue is this. We have an inability to make a moral stand because we ourselves are immoral. How can we truly stand up and say that this issue is wrong? Because in our minds, in our hearts, we know that our lives are not honoring the Lord. That we ourselves are invested in sin. Many people who profess the name of Christ have little desire in pursuing holiness. Instead, we just want to be as much like the world as we can without being in trouble or doing really bad things. In this room, every one of us has made judgments about things that God has declared as sinful. And in our minds, we deem them whether they're bad or not bad. We see some things as egregious. And others, we say this, well, it's just the changing of the times. You see how the world would see that as being hypocritical? You want to tell me that this issue is wrong, but then you're doing this, and doesn't your Bible say that this is wrong? And so since you know that's true, instead of making a statement, you feel like you're backed in a corner and you cannot speak. Our lack of holiness. Listen, our lack of holiness as a people not only affects our lives and our families, it wrecks our testimony to the world. It hinders us. It makes us lame. I don't mean that students is like uncool. I mean that as not able to function. Let me give you just an easy example. Most of you in this room, I would assume, would probably... I can't even assume that anymore because what do you see on Facebook? I would hope that people in this congregation would say, yes, homosexuality is a violation of God's holy law. And yet, we as a church, we as a society, we as Christians in America, we openly live together before marriage and we sleep together, don't we? So much so that we have to have students make purity promises. Every one of you should have a purity promise because God has called you to purity. And young adults, same thing for us. Just because you're engaged doesn't mean you're married. But you see, we categorize. It's okay because it's not really affecting anybody, and I'm doing these things over here and nobody knows about. But it does. It affects the gospel. It affects our witness. Listen, our holy, sin-defying, gloriously radiant Heavenly Father, He may have different specific plans for each one of us, right? I mean, maybe some of you, He wants you to go to the mission field. Maybe some of you, He wants to become doctors. Maybe some of you, He wants you to be in law enforcement. Maybe some of you, He wants you to be educators in school systems. But I can tell you this, He has one same purpose in every one of our lives if we claim the name of Jesus Christ, and that is that we would be pure, that we would pursue righteousness, that we would be a people that are holy, set apart for His glory. Just think for a minute with me. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look over there. I don't want you to think. I want you to see it. It's not me. I want you to see what God's Word says, and then you've got to make the decision for yourself. Look, I love you, and I'm not mad at you. Please don't hear that. I just want you to know the... the great urgency in my heart for this. For us. For me. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 14. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Look! Don't act like you used to act when you were not saved. You didn't know then, but now you know. You have the gospel revelation. You have the Holy Spirit that's at work in you. Therefore, as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Folks, in every area of our life, be holy. Why? Because it's written, you shall be holy because I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time on your exile. What's He saying there? Look, if you truly believe that God is holy and you believe that He saved you, then we need to pursue holiness. We need to pursue it with great passion. 2 Timothy, go back a couple of chapters, a couple of books. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 19. Second Timothy 2:19. But God's firm foundation stands. It does not matter what the world thinks or philosophizes. Is that the right way to say that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the wisdom of the world is foolishness. And all around us, our children are being inundated at schools with the foolishness of the world. The TV is telling us the foolishness of the world. The news media is telling us the foolishness of the world. Advertisement is telling us the foolishness of the world. And if we don't know Christ and we're not standing on His Word, we buy into it. God's Word stands. Bearing this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. Doesn't matter if you know the Lord. What really matters is, do you know the Lord? Many will say on me that day, Lord, Lord. He'll look at you and He'll say, I never knew you. And He goes on and says, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord do what? Depart from iniquity. Run. Flee. Get out of there. Don't do it. Put off iniquity. If you claim the name of the Lord, if I claim the name of the Lord, then we must pursue holiness. Two more passages. Hebrews before James, after 2 Timothy. He's talking about the discipline of the Father. And here's what he says, verse 10. Hebrews 12, verse 10. For they, being our earthly fathers, they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But He, being our heavenly Father, being God, disciplines us for our good, that we may do what? Share His holiness. He is at work in us, to disciplining us so that we will be holy. And then in verse 14, he goes on. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness is not just some tangent thought in Christian life. It is central to our very being. The Lord is holy, we should be holy. Without holiness, we will not see God. The whole book of 1 John is talking about that, right? If we're His, we won't sin. This is the gospel story, right? God is holy. We're sinners. We're not able to see God unless He does something. God cannot allow sin to enter into His presence, right? I mean, that's the story. Not God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. God is majestic. He is holy. He is sovereign. He is glorious. He will not allow sin to remain in His presence. And you've got a sin problem. You've got an impurity problem. You're unclean. I'm unclean. But God in His grace and His mercy, He sends His Son to die in my place and in your place to make cleansing, to make atonement, to purify us from our sins. That's the gospel message. The reason He does it is not because we deserve it, but because He is a loving God, because He is merciful, because He is glorious, because He deserves the praise of all people of all nations. But He desires that we be holy. Well, I only got through half of this, and I thought I would at least finish this today. We're going to stop. Next week, we're going to look at this issue, the fact that God is holy, and what does that mean then for us to be holy? How do we pursue true holiness? If we're going to be serious about engaging the culture, we've got to be serious about our own holiness and pursuing it with passion and with great vigor. So this morning, I just want you to think about this for a minute. Where's your life? Those of you who are in Christ, where are you in your pursuit of holiness? Only the Lord knows what you're involved in. Only the Lord knows the things that you think, the things that you do, the things that you have categorized in your mind as being acceptable. All the while His Word has said they are not acceptable. Look, this morning needs to start with us. Isn't that what He says? Discipline starts in the house of the Lord. Starts with us. Look, don't say, well, we need God to do a great revival in our land. We need Him to stem the homosexual movement and the pornography movement and all these other movements that are out there. Well, what we need is the people of God to have a movement in their lives of holiness. I need that. You need that. We need that. So this morning, I want to challenge you to ask the Lord, where are you in that? And maybe there's some things you need to confess and seek His forgiveness, and maybe there's some things you need to begin to put off, and maybe there's some things you need to start investigating your life and say, does this honor the Lord? Does this wreck my testimony? Does this inhibit me from being able to make a stand for the glory of Christ and the truth of the gospel? And students, you need to think about that. And as you go away to camp this week, you need to be serious. I know some of you are going thinking, am I going to be able to find boys, or am I going to be able to find girls? What you really need to be able to think is, am I going to find the Lord? Am I going to find holiness while I'm there? And am I going to come back? And am I going to come back to my school? And am I going to be a light in darkness? Because you know your schools are dark. And when you go there, they're going to want to snuff you out. And if you're not getting prepared and you're not ready for when you go back, you will be snuffed out. You'll do the things that your school classmates are doing. So you have a week, this week especially, to focus. Maybe some of you want to pray this morning. Some of you, you don't know Christ at all. You just came here with a friend or a relative. I want to challenge you with this. The Lord is saying you will not enter His presence the way you are. He's not going to look and say, well, you've done good things and bad things, but you've done enough good things, come in. No, you must repent of your sins. You must turn to Christ. You must have an alien holiness meaning a holiness that comes from something else because you cannot achieve it on your own. You must have a righteousness that comes from Christ. As we'll see next week, only Christ and His death makes us holy. Some of you in this room today need to do business with God and seek out holiness through Christ. I'm going to ask our team to come and they're going to lead us in this last song. But as they're doing and you stand in a moment, some of you can come and pray. Jonathan will be up here. Some deacons will be around the room. But look, church, let's not leave this morning without trying to at least begin to do work and business with the living God. Father, I'm begging you. Lord, I'm thankful for discipline which brings about holiness. And I'm praying, Lord, you'll bring holiness to us as your people. In this church, in the churches in this community, the churches in this nation, the churches around the world. Lord, you need a pure bride, a bride that is able to stand before the world. And Lord, the only thing they can accuse us of is that we love you. Lord, let our testimony not be wrecked because of sin and unrighteousness. Lord, create in us a pure heart. Give us clean hands and pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to the idols of this world. Father, as that rain is just falling around us, may we even now just feel you, just your presence just cleansing us with your Holy Spirit as we seek forgiveness through you. And Father, in this room, may your Holy Spirit move and work in those who need Christ today. Bring the dead to life, we pray, through Him. Amen.